Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva, Days of Our Lives and Friends. This is Carrie, and we have Rose here, health screening tonight.
Hi.
And Marianne.
Hi, everyone.
And Anna.
Hello.
And we don't have Matthew.
Matthew,
who? I'm going to try sending his people
just
an email.
Like Jack, right?
Just like Jack.
Very Jack-like. Hopefully
so
he's
Jack-like.
Okay.
A little bit of Jack in Matt now.
Yeah, so anybody want to talk about last week's scenes? Why type up an email to our phone number, see what's on.
Jack scenes?
I was just so, yeah.
I cried.
Yeah.
Aww.
I cried.
Between him and, especially with him and Abby, yeah, in the elevator.
Oh, I know. Those were great scenes.
Great scenes, yeah.
And just the way that Jack was able to overcome that PTSD that he was going through with Shakespeare
mm-hmm.
to save
mm-hmm.
his daughter was just, it was so heartfelt.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was heartbroken.
Yeah, Ellen,
yeah.
And then realizing that he was falling down the shaft and everything, it's like, oh, gosh, you know, so
aww.
Bad.
So I know Roman told them that the EMTs found the body and he died instantly.
Right.
But, so does anybody really buy that, Jack said? Because we haven't seen a body and he gets cremated from what we heard.
Right.
Oh, that sounds
the last
really
we heard
suspicious.
Jennifer was going to see Jack's, you know, Roman was taking her to see
oh,
him.
So she did
but
identify
that's all
him.
We, yeah, or to see the, yeah, and then that's all we heard, you know, other than, you know, it's really no funeral. Is that what they did? They cremated?
Yeah,
I don't know.
He gets cremated.
And with a scenario like that, though, where there's no premeditation for the whole scenario, it seems less plausible that they would come up with a backstory that, well, it was intent, you know, he had a plan B and, you know, he's, you know, really undercover somewhere or something like that. I mean, they can always do that. We love having
Jack back. And
Jennifer
knew and, you know,
so we'll
they were
always,
in on it.
So we'll always buy,
know.
We'll always be willing to buy it. Another, you know, we'll always buy another
right.
Jack return.
You'll buy
yeah,
it for
right.
anything for your favorite character. You know, you'll
yeah.
buy anything
oh,
to get
sure.
them back. Yeah.
Exactly.
Is Carrie on the line with us?
Hello?
Is Carrie there?
Is who?
Carrie. Is she on the... Diva?
You talking about me? Carrie?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Here's the... Hold on.
Is Matthew in there?
Yeah.
Oh, did you bring him up?
I'm trying to right now. It won't push the button.
I'm sorry. I was trying to tweet him.
There you go. There's
to...
Matt.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
Good.
Thank you so much for doing our show again. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure. I'm glad we were able to kind of do this one more time. Because of the changes in the internet and the web and everything like that, you know, you could now kind of have kind of quick time responses to things that happen
yeah.
on a show that are not necessarily that aren't quite you know, I'm just saying things can happen and you can respond to them in the moment.
Right.
Which is kind of nice. I mean, although this isn't exactly the moment, I think I guess what my last air day was Wednesday, last Wednesday, and this today is, so it's been a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, about a week.
We were just talking about the backstory of how you're
already.
Actually really still alive, and yeah, we've already planned that out. So
very nice. So
yeah, we're still
do you have any idea how many people are actually listening to this right now, or is there any way to know that, or how do you figure that kind of stuff out?
I could try to check the stats, but I don't know how accurate they would be.
Yeah, I'm just
right
curious.
Now,
I mean, this.
We have 23 people in the chat room right now, but your last interview we did with you back in July was one of our biggest ever. So I would say it's probably in the right now in the hundreds. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, that's nice.
So,
I appreciate it. Anyway, I just wanted to do this one because it just seemed like, well, I had a feeling this was coming up, and I had not heard about any kind of return or anything like that. So I kind of thought, well, it'd be nice just kind of close things out as they are.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate everyone. You know, there's so many creative spirits. People wanting to come up with other storylines, other ideas, other ways. And I guess, you know, whether it's Indiana Jones or Sherlock Holmes or Doctor Who, or any number of kind of characters.
Well,
you come up with reasons why people continue.
Yeah. Well, we were just talking before you came on that, you know, for legacy characters like Jack that everyone loves and just have such a history, it's like fans will forgive a lot as far as how the writers bring you back. You know, it's like,
buy anything.
It's obviously an evil plot that Stefano DeMiro hatched. And, you know, there's obviously a plan behind this, and Jennifer's in on it, and, you know, there's something, you know.
Well,
it's like,
yeah,
it's like we're willing to suspend logic
We had to sit there and watch while they did this story about, you know, all these people in the hut or whatever that thing was being killed, quote unquote, all of them being killed, you know, and we all had to have this whole crying jag while it happened, which was, you know, and we knew, and like I was reading it, and because I didn't know what was going on in the show, like, why are we're all crying about what now? Oh, they were all killed. Now we all have this big memorial for 7 people who were killed. People are just like, no way. They're not getting rid of Peter Reckle. Whoops. Whatever. I mean, all these, they're not getting rid of, you know, but all sorts of characters. And then, of course, Rafe saved everybody. That happened only a few months ago. So nothing is, you know, obviously it's all there. Everything is possible in this kind of world, I guess.
How many times is it, Matt,
for Jack?
I don't know. I was going to ask you because I kind of prided myself years ago in that I just played my action and I never got into bizarre, really bizarre, crazy stuff. But then I started being let go from the show on repeated occasions, and suddenly it turned into death sentences, and suddenly people were saying, well, how many times have you died? And as soon as I had to defend that kind of argument, I felt like the credibility of the character was seriously damaged.
Right.
And, you know,
sometimes
you didn't die. I mean,
didn't you just go away sometimes and then didn't die? Yeah.
He was dead, and he would go away, but he was... But to try to explain that to someone is really sad. You feel bad. Like, what am I doing?
It gets silly after a while.
Yeah, no, it was beyond silly. And I said, you know, I'm an actor. I like to talk about the work. I don't want to talk about the silly storylines of some writer or other who really couldn't come up, who really, their entire goal was just to keep me off the page. You know, I mean, unfortunately, that's what, you know, and I watch that now and I go like, oh, wow, it's, you know, but that becomes a real, that became the whole deal for many people. But anyway, I don't even know. I think someone could explain, you know, someone said, oh, no one, you've been killed off more than anybody. And I kind of can't believe that because I feel like Stefano DeMiro had to be.
Stefano might have you beat. Stefano might have.
Yeah.
I know. And Joe Mascolos had a pretty good.
Or Tony DeMiro might, between the two of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I realize now I should have been born in Demira. I mean, Deborah. You know,
maybe
Deborah,
you really are.
Maybe you are.
Well, that would be. Maybe. I mean, that would be more fun, wouldn't it? it would be more fun. Yeah. Anyway, it's all just kind of an interesting, strange thing, I guess. Wish it all, well, I don't know. It happened as it happened. What are we going to say?
Right. Well, we have a question from Julie, who is one of the girls that was instrumental in getting you trending that time, you know, a while back.
Matt.
Anyway, Julie from, I think she's in Newfoundland. Anyway, she couldn't be here tonight, but she'll be listening on the playback. But she just wanted to know what your ideal storyline for Jack would be. What would you, if you could write a storyline right now for Jack, like pre-dead, or pre-dead-dead.
Pre-dead. You know, like, I don't even know. I just feel like, it's just very hard to sit there and say I'd rather be a Demira at this point because it just seems like, you know, I've kind of reached a point in my life, a career, where I'd much rather just be manipulating people and loving them as I will and showing.
You
know, I'm just saying that seems to be a world that a lot of the writers seem to understand. it's my feeling that it is or is not kind of a women's medium in the sense that the women are the heroines. So the men are the heroes are limited in a certain sense. But if you're up always fighting a heroine who is very, you know, who the show is behind and pushing, you have more opportunity to push that. And it doesn't help to be a hero with a hero, I guess. A hero, it doesn't help to be a hero with a heroine. You know, that's, I mean, ultimately, unless, you know, you become a good functionary within it.
For Jack to find out that he's really a Demira and explore the darker side of his character then?
Well, the only reason I say Demira is because that's the only name that has any currency in this particular show. I'm just saying it, you know, but I think he would, you know, I just, me, Matthew, I would like to be, I think I could, you know, play a player. Basically.
Oh, yeah. Well, what about Nicole?
Saying,
did you have any, were you thinking maybe, because I know a lot of us kind of wanted to see a little interaction with Jack and Nicole this time around. That would have been, I would have enjoyed that.
She was already kind of involved with Rafe, and, you know, it's just, the characters, it's kind of, you know, when you kind of like know enough, you kind of realize that their NBC was really pushing Rafe and, it's about, you know, a lot of it's about rape, so then, you know,
unfortunately.
Unfortunately, he didn't get in the elevator.
Nothing against the actor. We have nothing against the actor, but the
character
goes. We're not big. We're not.
Yeah, we're not fans of Rafe. No.
Well, he's a very charming man and an actor. He could really be. It's so interesting. He could be. You know that guy who's. He was on Full Metal. He played the sergeant, drill sergeant on Full Metal Jacket, and he was also in all those reality shows. He was a drill sergeant or whatever. He has the silver hair. He's a military guy with the heavy eyebrows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know you're talking about.
I can't
remember
the name of it. Yeah, he's a really tough-looking guy, but he has heavy, heavy-duty, big black eyebrows and big, dark brown eyes. And I look at him and said, oh, my gosh, you know, Galen could be his son. I mean, it's like the same kind of character. So anyway, I don't know. I'm just.
Enjoying Rafe when it was the evil, when it was the replacement Rafe. He was kind of twisted. I enjoyed that
a little bit more exciting.
But
he's kind of boring. Really.
Oh, wait a minute. Can you tell me who's replacement Rafe?
Bad storyline from last year.
You mean they?
No,
mean they
he wasn't a Rafe.
You mean they came up with a bad Rafe?
They had a Rafe 1 and a Rafe,
if you can
a Robo Rafe.
Call it bad.
Robo Ray.
There wasn't much difference,
yeah.
But.
Well, yeah. I don't know. That shows it's hard because they don't give the actor a chance to just be changed.
Yeah.
You know, it just requires a different kind of writing. And I guess, you know, in the larger sense, I've always been struggled with that. So, I mean, really, I there's a part of me knows that I want to grow into other things and develop other things, and I've stayed with this particular. I've stayed with this medium for 25 years or 30 years. So, and I haven't really. I've done little things in nighttime and done little things in some movies, but you know, ultimately. Sometimes when you gotta really need to grow, you have to let things go. And so I can't say that this isn't a good thing. This is there comes a time when you have to really have to let it go. And so I don't I don't blame anybody. And you know, because I feel like this is part of my life putting it out there. But you know, I have to have the courage to say, you know, it's been really really good for me in many many ways. But I. You know, I have to, if I really dare to go on, I can't wait another 10 years and another 10 years and say, oh, I really shoulda, coulda, woulda. You know, I'm going to play 9 to 5, the musical, in another less than a week. I'm going to do,
I was just
going to
ask you what else you're going to be doing. Oh, that's
I'm
good.
About to go, you know, I'm going to go play Franklin Hart, the Dabney Coleman role.
Oh, I love
right.
that.
Wow.
Oh,
Yeah. So I'm gonna.
Oh, you'll be great
for
that.
Yeah. Well, I hope so. I got to learn the words and the music, but it really is. It's a very
good
funny.
Singer, you're a good great singer too.
Well, it's a fun role, but I'm going to do it at the Ogunquit Playhouse in Ogunquit, Maine, which is a beautiful place. About 9 years old, and Charlie Shaughnessy has been up there a couple of times.
Yeah,
And he was very excited when I told him that I was doing it. He was very excited for me. And, it was very cool because we're like, wow, this is, you know. Anyway, you know, musicals are great and it's one thing, but I'm also, I just shot a whole bunch of new headshots with, I've got a kind of a grizzled, kind of a beard and long, my hair's getting longer and longer and I'm just trying new things, different things. But I mean, but that's what happens. You gotta let things go. You gotta let some things go before the new doors open and all that. And and overall, I hope everyone. You know, I really wish everybody well. I wish the show well. And you know, I've really had a ball. But I just realized, you know, if you sit around waiting for something like this, your life just passes you by.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, everybody else. I mean, I know there's a lot of people very frustrated with things, and I just hope everybody out there is enjoying their lives as they are and doing different things. Maybe it's a good time to try something different and read a book and take a hike or pick up a new, you know, something new to do and that sort of thing. I just mean, it's change, and change can be, you know, whatever they say, or they say, you know, adventure begins, real life begins when the comfort zone ends. And days of our lives is a comfort zone, very much so, for all of us. It has been for me and for many, many other people because it's very comfortable. It's a great place. You kind of know, how this stuff goes, and you know. But
like
when you're
family,
ready,
huh?
Yeah, but when you're able to kind of like step out of the comfort zone, then you got to start growing, and that's what I'm doing. So anyway, I am just fine, and I want everybody to know that, you know, I'm. This is something. It's a good time in my life to be kind of stretching, spreading my wings, and really trying, and not waiting for like the next thing. Because you know what, if it happens, it happens. I know I've done good work. I know that I can create a solid, strong character. But I'm not going to sit around and wait for it. I can't. So,
with Jack's demise, how did you feel about doing those scenes and how they turned out?
I felt really appreciative. I was very, I mean, the director came from All My Children. We had a table read, an actual table read. We sat down the day before and, you know, just after our other show, and we sat and read through the show, the two shows. And we've never done that. It was so old school. It was so old school. It was just great. We went through it and read through it. because we weren't going to have time, and we had to create this little moment so quickly because we just don't have much time together. And it really helped a lot because we had to do it. And we had, you know, Skylar was in it, and Kate was in, you know, and Missy and I were, you know, although we didn't have that much to do exactly with each other, you know, we know where we can connect, but I was doing a lot of stuff with Kate, and then there was scenes with Skylar, and trying to make the most of it in a very short period of time when they had all this other stuff they needed to shoot as well. It was really important to try to get it right. So I really appreciated that we would, you know, took the time and did a read-through, a couple of read-throughs of those scenes, and got us ready for the next day of shooting. And it was very dramatic. It was fun. I mean, there have been, I hate to say this because if you know, when you leave, oh, well, the last time I left or the time before that, you know, I really felt like they wrote something, you know, and I think this was, I think this is Marlene, definitely Marlena
Daryl?
Daryl, yeah, they wrote it, they wrote it. And, I mean, I think they were directed by NBC that I had to suddenly go, but I think they wrote it. So I just appreciate they did that, and it was it was cool. It gave me, I feel like I had something to chew on before I went. It meant something, and it reminded me in a sense of when I left, I feel like I've come full circle. And when I left One Life to Live, it was after 9 months, only 9 months, I was on that show as the character of Drew Ralston. And to kill me, they had to write my character in a little more. I was only working one day a week for months, and I really had serious doubts about what am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. I got I just lost all confidence. And although I'd been through, like, trained in 4 years of school and all this stuff, well, you know, when they had to start working me 4 and 5 days a week because they wanted people to care enough about killing me, suddenly my acting kind of started making sense, and they started having a drive and a moment and all that sort of thing. So it was very good. In the same way, I feel like I only lasted about 9 months on the show this time. But in the end, they felt it was necessary to write enough so that people cared. So I feel like I kind of came full circle, and I'm happy, and I'm hoping that there'll be a growth and development and change that will be commensurate to my rise out of One Life to Live.
This was odd. I don't know if you watched today's episode. I don't know if you still watched the show or not. They had a family gathering around Jennifer and Abby at the Horton House, and Jennifer received a jade plant anonymously. So I wasn't sure what kind of message the show was sending there, or that was about. I mean, they were mentioning moments between Jack and Jen. There weren't any flashbacks or anything, but it seemed like they were trying to give the fans, you know, something today about their history together.
I have no idea. Honestly, I don't know. I haven't really seen the shows. I still have to watch the elevator stuff because part of me just kind of didn't want to see it. And frankly, watching the stuff afterwards, I saw a little bit of the read-through when we were rehearsing very quickly on the day I left. You know, Roman, whoever's playing Roman this week, Josh came
Josh.
In.
Josh.
And he was reading this, he just read it, and he went, he dropped down, he died instantly, he died a hero. And I went, okay, I've heard enough. And then I went back out, and I did my stuff. But when I finished, it was really a nice ending. They were so classy. They were so, you know, they said, is that it? And they kind of stopped everything. They announced, they said, ladies and gentlemen, that's, you know, Matthew Ashford is done for today.
Aww.
And it was a small group, you know, because most of the cast was not there, but the crew was there. And they couldn't have been nicer. They couldn't have been, you know, people I worked with for 25, 30 years coming up to me, you know, were like the most sarcastic bunch you could imagine who've seen everything. Coming up to me and wanting to take pictures with me and aww, thanking me and saying how much they really like working with me. And, you know, these are guys, men and women who are like, you know, they've been working there long before I was there. So
aww,
it was a moment. Yeah, it was very nice. It was very, very nice. And then I was done and I left. And I kind of, you know, I knew what was coming next. I knew what was coming next. They were going to shoot the next scenes of, you know, where they had to come up and the paramedics or EMTs, whatever they do, and Josh had to come up and say that stuff. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to get out of here. I'm grabbing my stuff and getting out of here because I'd rather end with a very positive feeling and continue with that stuff. And, you know, it's better to know, you know, as always, it's better to know when is it good to go? When is it
right,
a good time to go? And I, that's what I felt.
Yeah.
So I left, and I know I'm bumped into that.
Yeah.
So I left. At that point, I didn't, and I really, I haven't seen the shows, I haven't watched any of that stuff afterwards, because, you know, it's just, I'm not good, you know, it's just weirdly, it's weirdly hurtful. I mean, you don't need to sit there and watch that stuff because it's not about me. It's about other people and their stuff. I've literally had to lie in hospital beds on different shows listening to people supposedly talk about me, or they're there because I'm there, but meanwhile they're having their own romantic occasions and stuff like that, and I'm lying there in bed on a tube. And you kind of go like, man, I just feel like a piece of baloney lying here, plugged into something. It's painful. That's so painful. And in this case, I had the chance to walk out and leave. And, you know, with a certain amount of dignity. And, you know, I don't want to take away from anybody. The story goes on. That's the fact. And, you know,
I have only partially a sarcastic question, but do you get nervous when you go on elevators now? Because I think I'd be a little nervous. Personally,
no, you know what? What's funny is I auditioned for a very funny show that was taking place at a theater out here. And the characters were, it's kind of like Heaven Can Wait, story where, you know, people die suddenly and the nasty boss and this girl end up dropping down an elevator shaft and they're killed instantly. And the angel gets it wrong and puts the guy in the girl's body and the girl in the guy's body. It's a new play. And I didn't get it, but I just thought how perfect if I had, because it was just perfect. It was like wow, dying in an elevator. What a way to go.
Wasn't it a brick the time before that? Did you get hit with a brick?
I don't know. I mean, that's where the character starts.
And all your organs were taken out or something? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you guys have to know. You don't know. I mean, my roommate when I came out of college was a guy named. Well, my roommate when I came out of college was a guy named Robert Harling, who wrote, amongst other things, Steel Magnolias, and Soapfish.
And what else?
He was Soapfish.
Oh, okay.
Robert
Harling.
Bob Harling. Yeah, I mean, I knew him. He was like, you know, a bit older than me, but he was an actor and this and that, and he was working on some soaps. He worked on a soap called Texas, I think.
I remember that.
And he, you know, then he got, you know, but he kind of moved into writing, and he had to watch three or four shows, one of which was Search for Tomorrow, which I was on, and he had to watch all these shows, and so, you know, he had soaps backwards and forwards, but his own real story was Steel Magnolias, which was his real life. And his actually, his sister was a fan of mine from Search for Tomorrow when I played Cagney McCleary. And she was going to come up north to visit us. And when I was, you know, there, and then she got ill and couldn't quite make it. And then sometime after that, I moved out. And I lost touch, and I didn't realize what had happened. What happened, of course, was a very sad story of her demise. And Bob really suffered and ended up writing Steel Magnolias as a result of that. But he wrote so many other things besides, and amongst which was Soap Dish, which was his very funny recounting of the soap operas and these really stupid, ridiculous storylines that Whoopi Goldberg, the head writer, and somebody else would do. I mean, I mean, I would love to be the Kevin Kline character, of course. I mean, in some ways, I am the Kevin Kline character. You know, doing my Death of a Salesman and, you know, the dinner theater, whatever. You know, I'm just saying, but it's just funny because he made fun of it. Like, how can you come up with these outrageous storylines? And people do, but, you guys realize that all this is changing. This world is changing and going away, and it's not coming back. They really want to have, I think they really want to have telenovelas. They want to have 6 months to 9 month storylines that don't have to be repeated, but new characters. Yeah. So you don't have to have the same character have brain transplants to get the character to do something entirely different. And maybe that's a good thing. But I mean, I really feel like that's, you know, I heard about this back when I was on General Hospital.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, that's 95, 96. And, you know, they were already thinking of this, like, can we do this? We want to do this. And maybe it'll be better. Maybe it'll be better. But, I mean, to subject the writers and the actors and producers to, you know, trying to keep one character the same and keep coming up with the same adventures, you know, for a single character again and again and again and again and again, you end up with bizarreness. And so maybe this really is a very natural evolution to come to a 6 month to 9 month storyline. I mean, some great television is happening right now on Showtime and HBO and places like that where they're coming up with, you know, they have only six or seven episodes for an entire season.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, and some of those are great. I mean, I feel like The Sopranos is an amazing show. It was a big soap opera. It's an amazing soap opera with a bunch of Italians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I really hope my feeling is I think everybody in America has that kind of wit and wisdom to we could do that with any show. Definitely Days of Our Lives can do that, but
It goes back to the writing, really. I mean,
but the belief,
they change writers so much.
I just mean the actors. Well, first of all, my feeling is that the writer, there needs to be a new compact between the audience and the producer and writers. That the producers can tell a story, and the viewers are not going to sit there and scream and yell because they're not being heroic or true or this or that. That they can start allowing. I wish some of these women could be allowed, because really it comes back to the women can be allowed to just be fearful and small and petty and mean and. Within that, suddenly there's these brilliant, beautiful moments of humanity, and then the men, in the same way, can be fearful, small, petty, mean, and then courageous pops out at the strangest moment. And you know, but if you, everyone constantly has to be courageous, good. Of course, you're going to have a very strange world. And I just think it's, you know, it's a little bit of chicken the egg. I think if the viewer said, you know, well, Roman always acts like this, and Bo always acts like this, and Hope always acts like this, and Marlena must be like this. And, you know, if they won't accept a development of other things, you know. I mean, I had an actress tell me one time on GH, she said, you want to make sure people like you. And she told me that right in front of everybody. And I was just a little bit of shock and awe, but... You know, then again, I was only on that show for 2 years. This person was on for many years. So I'm the one who, you know, what do you want? Do you want to stay on the show or do you want to, you know, what do you want to do? So, but I just feel like, that's part of the reason why these shows, I think, are going by the wayside, because I think you guys, the audience, are looking for more and need more. Because you're in the workplace, you're working, you're seeing everything, and your choices, you can at any moment, you can turn on Andy Griffith, you can turn on The Sopranos, you can turn on, you know, some very light, fluffy thing, or you can turn on something really heavy. These shows have to become, like, you know, I'm just saying, they need to become very solid, dramatic, fair, and not be afraid of, you know, right now we're going through stuff with PTSD was a really, really big deal. And being gay was a really, really, really big deal and continues to be. I guess they're going to continue with, like, you know, PT with gay bashing and, and you know, things like that. I mean, just. But I guess that's kind of where the show's right now. But it has to move out of the dramatic dark ages where I feel like things can be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So anyway, who knows? Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. It's own kind of art form. It's become a kind of arctic. But you know, I mean, I guess if you maybe its closest relative was like watching the. Not the Avengers, not the A-Team, but, you know, who are the superheroes, the ones who have all the superhero powers, Magneto is in, you know,
X-Men.
X-Men, right. Well, they all behave a certain way. They all behave a certain way. They all must be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's part of it. And if you don't behave a certain way, the audience will freak on you, but the
mm-hmm.
audience in that case is 7-year-olds to 14-year-olds. You know, I mean, come on. Or maybe they're old 14-year-olds who are like now 40 and 50 who say, "No way, the X-Men behave this way." You know, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, but we're reaching a time where I think people need to know. You know, people's time is valuable. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if you're not going to tell a good story, what are you going to do?
I think a current example of a success story is The Return of Dallas on TNT, because it has been a huge hit. I mean, like, all age groups, demographics, it's really hitting, you know, all of those, and really resonating with people, whether they were fans from the 80s or
mm-hmm.
had never watched it or grew up with their parents watching it and now they're watching it.
Yep.
You know, just all kinds of things, but it's because, A, they brought back the people who made it successful to begin with, who were favorites,
yeah.
So the people who used to watch it love them and want to see them again, but then new people, younger people, or people who just never watched it before are attracted to them, too, even though they're 20 or 30 years older than they were when they were first on the show, because what was good then is still good. It's still that chemistry that the characters have. And then they put some good writers on it. They have some good writers. And, you know, it's turned out to be a really big hit. And I have to admit, as a longtime Dallas fan, when I first heard a couple of years ago that they were going to try to make a movie and then it was going to be a series, I actually rolled my eyes like, oh, please. Please don't ruin this, you know. Please, I almost didn't even want it to happen because I figured they would ruin it. But they've managed, you know, not to get too far off the topic, but as far as the genre in general, they've managed to bring the elements that everyone loved, but update them, bring in new characters, but not sacrifice the old ones for the new.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. So I'm just, it kind of breathes new life into the genre. And I'm kind of hoping that daytime gets some benefit from it, but daytime's got to step up the writing if they're gonna, you know, see that same, you know, response.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, Patrick Duffy's a friend of mine, and
I loved him.
Yeah, he's amazing. He actually is also a Nichiren Buddhist. He chants Nam-myoho Renge Kyo.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I remember that.
Yeah,
I knew all that.
Like
that
35 years or more, 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
And he really is quite an extraordinary man and very thoughtful and deep. And, you know, he believes in cause and effect, and he just continues to chant to create value wherever he is at that moment.
Uh-huh.
And so this became, it was like, when this happened, it was like a next natural step.
Right.
But he doesn't change. He doesn't care. It's not like him being more or less than. He has not changed at all.
Right.
He's just the same. He's the same Patrick.
And I think it says mm-hmm. a lot that Larry and Linda and he are all friends for all of these years. I mean, that those three people have apparently stayed very close friends. And
they have. I mean, yeah, but you realize they were a small group as opposed to, I mean, our group is actually, you know, in days
sure.
of our lives, you could talk about, especially if
sure.
you go at 25, 30 years, you can be talking about 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 people,
oh, sure.
200 people.
Oh, sure.
And,
sure.
But I'll tell you what, when we see each other, it's very, you know, uh-huh. we, especially this last time we kind of came back together, it was so great to see Deidre and
aww.
Drake. And, I mean, everybody, you know, Missy and Mary Beth and, you know, I mean, even I run into Stephen Nichols, you know, we relate to each other something. I saw him at the Emmys and, you know, it's just nice. It's just, you know, no matter what, it's just nice to see people
right.
say, oh, you're alive, you're healthy, you're well. And,
right.
and someone who's probably younger, like, say, they can't relate to it at all, you start realizing, like, oh, my gosh, there's so many bad things that happen to so many people. If you could have that goodwill early on, your life would be so much happier. You wouldn't be,
right.
you know, running and gunning and looking at other people. But I'm just, you know, it's just really nice to see a friendly face and,
right.
and to know that they're doing well and to actually wish them well and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, as far as fan reaction and fans out there, you know, of course, being, you know, we do the Divas Show. We're very involved with the show, you know. We're in the, you know, we're kind of in that world, if you will, of fandom or whatever. But, like, there's a lot of people out there that just watch the show. They've watched it their whole lives, and they don't have any clue what's going on behind the scenes or out, you know, in the spoilers or anything like that. They just watch the show every day. They love the show and everything. And I was at the gym with someone today that one of those types of fans where she probably doesn't even know half the actors' names or whatever. It's just she's been watching for 30-something years. And she brought up you today, and she was just like, oh, and it was so sad. She's like, he is such an amazing actor. And she's like, I'm so sad that he's gone, you know, that he's off the show again and everything. And I was just like, just wanted to pass that on to you because that's somebody that's not involved with, you know, promoting the show or trying to support the genre necessarily, but it's just a regular longtime fan, but she went on and on about it, how much she's going to miss you.
No, I appreciate it. No, I do, because I mean, I really feel like I realize now that I have given, you know, not that I've gotten so much, but I really have, you know, in terms of my young life, I've pretty much devoted it to daytime and devoted it to Days of Our Lives. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's a time when you really do your stuff.
Yeah.
I'm determined to show, you know, this is part of my Buddhist, you know, Nam-myoho-renge-kyo determination that there's a second act for me to do something
mm-hmm.
new and something
yeah.
different.
Of course.
But I have committed that, and I appreciate it. At the same time, I realize, well, there's nothing more valuable than your time, and I have given it. I've spent most of my young life working to develop, you know, being to the, you know, to try to make Days of Our Lives better. And, you know, I have no complaints. I would not have stayed on the show if I hadn't been given the opportunity to play so many different things. And I never had to have my brain transplanted. I never had to have an evil twin. I never had to have
Missy, she was actually alive without a heart beating in her body and stuff. She was pretty impressive.
Well, I mean, you know, but I've had stupid bricks in the head. I mean, but that comes later. I mean,
well, what frustrates me about Days is they always let the best actors go.
And you know
yes.
what? That's what my
always.
Friend is.
We're losing two of the
comment.
Best,
and
you
like,
and Ian Buchanan. I mean,
yeah,
I just,
she's like any winning
and they
keep
the worst
any caliber actors.
The
And
Sorry.
They get and they leave and they have to go. You know, that she even
well,
said that today.
Just like
oh,
Abby
yeah.
said.
Sorry,
like Abby
you
said.
About?
We just
who
got you
I'm
back.
Sorry, who else are you talking about?
I said they always leave the best actors go. I said you and Ian Buchanan are leaving.
But Ian wasn't even barely on. Ian was on for 2 minutes.
Right.
He just laughed. He laughed and laughed. You know?
Right.
I mean, that's
but there's
the
so much they could have
is.
Developed. Yeah, but like
yeah,
Abby
but, I mean,
said,
just
we
saying,
just got you back.
Point, That's why we do things like The Bay, because, like, suddenly you can be there with an actor like Ian or an actor like, you know, I don't know, you know, just Mary Beth or, I mean, I'm just
right.
I'm against Tristan Rogers and, you know, I'm starting mm-hmm. this new season on The Bay, I'm getting a chance to play, his character Steven, who is, I mean, he is, you know, they call him the rapist, right? And he's like, well,
mm-hmm.
you raped Sarah, who is like Mary Beth Evans. And I'm like,
right.
what? And in this next season, it's all turned on its head. He comes back into the town, and he's there. And nothing is for sure. And at least, you know, I mean, this is all new media, so it's not like nobody's getting paid anything. We're all creating new story. But I'm getting a chance to play with really great people that no one would ever give me a chance to play with because we're all, like, quote-unquote, too expensive, right?
Right.
So we're getting a chance to do this stuff. And for that reason, I'm saying, like, you know, if people want to keep, you know, watch the Bay on the web, you're going to get, I'm going to have a lot more to do this season, and which I'm very glad about. As soon as I come back from doing this show, we're going to go right into shooting, and I'm very happy about that. You know, it's the future. It's whatever we're going to do, and I just feel like I got so much. I have a lot to give after all this, and you know, just smile and yet be a villain. I just feel like it's just a matter of being able to really do that. Being able to really do that. I did that once upon a time, and then they wanted to clean me up and put me with Jack with Jennifer, and that was good for a while. But then, you know, like, of course, you can predict it. It gets old. You can bet that, what's his name? Demira.
EJ, Stefano.
EJ, yes.
EJ.
The last thing he ever wants is to be happily married.
Right.
Right, you know, I'm just saying, you know, he's a smart guy.
Can't be happy
actor,
and soap too long.
Yeah, the last thing, it's just the death, you know. So, I mean, at least for Misty and me, we tried for many years to be, have our own little problems. And I just think the daytime, you know, daytime just still isn't ready for it. Although, fact is that I know that the writers of Mad About You were watching us when we were first on. Because they were writing it, they wrote that their characters watched us. They talked
Aww.
About us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is Mad About You. This is like, that's a series that's come and gone. It's so weird, but they watched us, and you realize they were realizing, oh yeah, look how these characters kind of squabble and carry on. They did the same thing, and because it was nighttime, they were able to do it, and they had the blessings of the network to do it. Missy and I could sit there and just give us anything. We'll sit there and squabble and complain and moan, and you're going to watch two people fighting through something, loving each other but not being able to admit it, all sorts of, I mean, you know, it's a form that I think they just weren't ready to deal with. My feeling is they thought that's not romantic. That's what I really think. I think they think that isn't romance, and I think it is. I think people slugging it out and figuring it out really is. You don't even, and because we were able to do it, we didn't need huge dramatic arcs of like this one's dying and that one's bent. We were fighting about everyday things. And I would have loved, Kristen and Peter and I and Missy and me, we could have fought about how we were raising our children, how, you know, what school are you going to, is that, are you really going to do that? I mean, all sorts of really interesting things. This is where television has gone the last 20 years anyway. From 30-something on and on and on. It's just, you know, you can find, with good writing, you can find the drama in every little moment. And you don't have to sit there and write crazy, outrageous stuff. You just have to have good, solid moments. You know, people arguing about things. So, anyway, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. I don't know. But there's a big shift. And one way or the other, we're all gonna be dealing with it. But I'm dealing with it a little bit sooner than others. So, anyway, does anybody have any questions out there in the world, I guess?
Yes. Let me get a caller on. Angela, you're on with Matthew.
Matthew, thank you so much for all the work you've done on Days and all the other shows that I've followed you on, and great work with the disaster episode because it was just heartbreaking. You did a great job. I was curious as far as just getting prepared. I know, you know, you were talking about, you know, how nice it was actually after it was over to kind of work with the crew and you know, to feel that, you know, that was a good piece and that was, you know, it was a good closure for you. But I'm just wondering, how did you really prepare? Was there specific things that you did before going into that? Because that's so intense and you've got all the history of Jack and, with the story, we're not supposed to really know that, you know, something was going to happen. We were supposed to wait and see. So I was just curious how you prepared for that as an actor.
You mean the last scenes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I didn't pretend they were the last scenes. you know, I mean, and it was really important to them too that I never, I never gave up. They want, you know, they wanted this heroic moment. And of course it's heroic saying, I'm not going to die, I'm not going to give up. I wasn't sure how they wanted to play it, but it turned out that he's reaching for the elevator shaft as the doors are closing. That's okay. But I just, you know, I prepared, I knew my lines. I was ready to connect. I was ready to demand and things like that, but I didn't know how it was going to happen. I've been taking a lot of improvisation in the last 6, 7, 8, 9 months, and part of it is like there's no pre-planning, it's just the moment. And how do you marry words to the moment? Because Skylar was there, Kate was there, Missy was there. You know, like, what are they going to bring? And if I'm really ready for them, that's so much more exciting than me saying, well, I'm going to say it like this, you know? The audience is going to feel it. You can feel a false moment. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was going to know what was going to happen with Kate. And, Kate and I have been building a relationship over the last, year, and it was very sweet, and I enjoyed it, and hopefully it gave her something. And Skylar is a very, he's a wonderful young man, and, and I know what it feels like to be the young guy in the soap opera. You know, you're just like, he was trying to do whatever he could, and, or whatever. I'm just saying, just trying to be, the best thing I could do is to be there for people, be present, and that's what I tried to do.
Well, you did a great job.
Well, thank you very much, and I mean, I honestly didn't know. I just didn't know what was coming up next. I tried not to know, and to be surprised along with everybody else, like, oh, this just happened. You know, I just feel like Jack improvises, right? He goes to the moment. He like he has no idea. I don't know. He comes up with it, and although in my mind, and in Jack's mind, I think he was very planned. He was very, he always wanted to pretend that he was very planned out. Everything was very worked out, I always imagined him as being a very conservative, very, years ago, I saw him as being a very conservative, very, Republican idea, like, this is the way the world is. And then Jennifer kind of came from this other place. Jennifer is very kind of freewheeling and, bleeding heart liberal and this kind of stuff. And it's very fun because that created a more fun dynamic, and trying to maintain that was, because then the craziness ensues, just the crazy scenes that they got into. But I always wanted to say that Jack never wanted to be known as the guy who put on the women's dress to do the thing and this and that. Yeah, he would sue you if you ever suggested that he was that guy. That was his own, Clark Kent moment, and his kryptonite was his ego, But I don't know. I tried to be prepared as best I could, and then see what happened.
Well, again, we just love all your work. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Angela.
Sure. Anybody else?
Yes, let me get Sabina on. Okay, go ahead, Sabina.
Sure.
Hi, Matt. It's Sabina.
Hello, Sabina.
I thought you did a marvelous job, and I really enjoyed the scenes, as sad as they were. And I just really wanted to call and let you know that I really enjoyed it. And I look forward to, I actually am looking forward to following you in all your upcoming excursions and what you're going to be doing. I look forward to seeing you in
thank
other
you.
Things and
well,
seeing
thank
you bring some other stuff.
Well, they will be excursions, that's for sure. And we'll see what they are. I have no idea, but I want to bring the same care that I realize I know this character so well, and to realize that there are other characters that I could play that I don't know so well, that I have to try to bring the same level of care and concern, feeling for, and that I want to be able to do that. So Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're so very welcome. And
yes.
I would love to see you in a live production on stage someday. I don't know if you'll ever get to Atlanta, because that'd be awesome. Because we have, you know, we do have shows come through here a lot.
Yeah, you know what? I was in Atlanta for when I was doing Mamma Mia, two years ago or more. That's where we. I didn't perform in Atlanta. That was my the last show for the last dance, and then my next show, I can't remember where I opened, but I was in Atlanta rehearsing.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, no, there was Atlanta, and then wait a minute, I can't remember Atlanta, and then Louisiana, wherever we were. But my point is, I was there, but I realized I wasn't on stage. I felt like I was on stage because I was in the theater. But you're right. You're right.
Where did you rehearse? Was it at the Fox?
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Mamma
Mia. Beautiful.
Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
That's a beautiful theater.
So yeah. And the food, man. You walked down the right street from there. You walked on the wrong street, you're in trouble. You walked on the right street, you're in trouble.
Uh-huh.
Major heaven. Some food, have, yeah. It was very, very, you know, Atlanta, very interesting town. Yes.
Well, hopefully one of these days you'll get to come back to Atlanta and actually perform in the Fox Theater on stage, and I will totally make it there and see that. I would love to.
Well, thank you very much. I would love to be there. Love to be there doing that. Okay.
You're very welcome. It was great
talking
with you.
You too. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sabina. Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye.
Yes. Anybody else?
Yes. Last caller here. We have Angie. Hi, Angie.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Angie. How are you?
I'm great. I have been in love with you since I was like 11, so this is just awesome. But anyway, some of the things you said, I wanted to respond a little bit. I'm so glad you're not a demerit. You know, Jack's relationship with Harper and Joe and Steve was so much more human and real and complicated than anything that Maris had ever done. But anyway, and you and Missy, you could have done the Mad About You thing on days, I think. And I'm sad that isn't what they've done. But anyway, my question, I don't know if you can even answer this, but I kind of feel like Dave lost his heart kind of when Al Rabin left. But I felt like with Jack, we had the opportunity for, you know, a real human story. You know, he's got PTSD, his wife's estranged. And that was like the one story with the reboot they didn't give us. Instead, we got like silly Alamania stuff with people who weren't even involved in Alamania originally. And do you know why it was that story kind of got shoved aside?
You're wondering why the PTSD story got shoved aside?
The whole thing with Jack and Jennifer's reconciliation, which I think there were so many issues between them that just got whitewashed in, like, a conversation. Not we're together, you know. It was kind of a sad thing, I thought, that story didn't get told.
Well, I think that the PTSD story was, I mean, in some ways, it comes down to who's producing the show. I think at a certain point, some people say, I'm not, you know, they say, we're not here to tell stories of post-traumatic stress syndrome. We don't care about that stuff. You know, there's some people say, this is a story of fantasy. We want fantasy. We want people to be happy. And we want, you know, our fans to see people in love, not post-traumatic stress syndrome. And it's very different points. And so, you know, we get into stuff. And, yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, Days of Our Lives doesn't really win that many awards because we don't really go there. And I'll bet you if you talk to the real, you know, the people behind that stuff, they just say, well, they would say, well, we don't do that. They would really rather stay with romance and all that. And so
that seems so foolish to me because there was a lot of romance there for Jack and Jennifer still. And there was a lot of angst, which I always think, you know, angst is soap opera. And they didn't tap into any of that. And there was no romance or angst or drama or anything with Gina and John and, you know, Sammy's multiple partners. I mean, I'm over her. Once the character just flip-flops so much, they stop being human, if that makes sense. And I'm grateful Jack never did stop being human. So. Even if it made you have to leave the show.
Yeah, anyway. I appreciate that. I mean, unfortunately, the flip-flopping and all that sort of thing, I don't understand what you know, obviously, you know, Allison can speak for herself. You know, at a certain point, you flip-flop, to try to make something work. And this happened with the characters of, you know, John and Marlena and Sammy and any number of other people who are just not whoever, you know, who just to keep working and all that. It's confusing at a certain point. And
well, it starts to feel like they don't really have any soul because they just fall in love with somebody new every other month, you know. And
yeah.
That doesn't keep me invested. That's the problem.
I really don't know because, well, I mean, that's unfortunate. This is also a product of this time where they have, you know, Sammy, G Jammy, E Whammy,
right?
Jammy, Jimmy, Gommy, Gimmy. I mean, what's really funny, I came to realize that Jack and Jennifer actually predated that, and so. There isn't really a conjunctive. Is that the right term? I'm not an English major.
Which
but,
name?
But something.
I am, and there is a word for that. I can't think of it.
A
monger or something.
That sounds like an eye disease, I guess. But something to put the words together. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the actors. It doesn't help the writers or the characters to put two characters together. It served a very crude media, and it killed what's his name? Matt Damon. Who was the other guy? Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
It totally didn't kill his career, but it put a huge, huge roadblock in his career when he could when he suddenly became Bennifer or Ben Flo or whatever the heck.
Yes. Well,
yeah,
look at Jack and Jennifer were both strong characters on their own who had a romance together. They weren't, you know.
Yeah, we were very well, but we preceded all that. We actually went before all that, and then but it's become a shorthand. It dehumanizes, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
But the fact that people can feed into it is very. I mean, we all have to take responsibility to say. You know, and if I see Ben Flo or Jim Blah, 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 whatever the names are, and if I say, you know what, not picking it up, not buying that magazine, they'll stop writing it. They won't write it anymore if you said, hey, you know what, I want to see a name. Who are you talking about? You know what I mean? They're saving on print media. They're literally just, they're a reflection of us. We have to, like, take our own responsibility, really.
Before I lose you, my 9-year-old son is actually already a Jack fan. Can he ask you a question?
Sure.
You've been waiting. Hi, Maddie.
Hi, what's your name?
Bennett.
Bennett? Really?
Yeah.
I have an Uncle Bennett. He's probably 88 years old. How old are you? You're 9?
Yeah.
Wow, he's about 80 years older than you. He's about 80 years older than you. Wow, Bennett, that's a great name. That's my family. I have a family name. We're Bennett's. So, okay, Bennett, I've just gone on enough. What's your question?
So,
hello?
I'm here. So I wanted to ask you, what's it like to be a kind of famous TV star?
What's it like to be a famous TV star? What's really strange is that nobody, you know, you can walk down the street and if your tire blows on your car, you have to call the tire, you know, you have to call the AAA or if you're lucky, or fix the tire yourself, just like anybody else. If you're, like, your phone stops working and, you know, you've got to, like, weigh people down just like anybody else. If you're, you know, you go to the grocery store and you know, run out of, forgot your wallet, you're just the same as anybody else. Especially out here, people are just a little over it. It's a little over it. And sometimes people, the nice thing, those are the hard things, just like regular life. Now, the nice things are, and this is what I really like, is that people look at you and talk to you like they know you, and they share their lives with you. Now, that's something that I like because I'm a Buddhist. I chant Namyo Renge Kyo. I'm like a, I'm interested in human beings. I'm a Buddhist. And I find, people will talk to me about their lives, and they'll share their lives with me. And that's very exciting to me because they'll say, wow, Matt, Jack, or whatever. And I'll say, call me Jack, whatever. And they talk to me. And they share their lives with me. And that's really, really exciting. And for me, that has been a treasure in my life throughout my entire, really, working life. Because most of the wonderful experiences I've had is because people have been trusted me enough to share their lives with me. And that, I've tried to be respectful of that and share with that. But I realize I've had experiences just great people that most people never have because most people never open up to each other. So that, to me, is a great experience of being a soap opera star, a TV star, because it's not about getting a great table at a restaurant or this thing or that thing. That doesn't matter to me. I came out of the Midwest. I got 7 brothers and sisters. We're all pretty regular people. I've never sought out the star treatment, and maybe for better or for worse, I haven't been able to push that beyond. But I've had wonderful exchanges with wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people, and that, to me, has been the greatest experience and part of being whatever television, quote-unquote, star.
Yeah. And I saw one more term. It was awesome. And I am totally with you. I love Barack Obama.
You do? Oh, you see, you liked one more term? Thank you. Thank you very much. That's very kind. He brought up one more term. Okay. So I guess I can talk about that.
I said if the 9-year-old brought it up, you can't be blamed for getting political.
Yeah, no. I'm not blaming it. No, it's great. I'm just saying it's really interesting. I mean, this came up through, I live in Los Angeles, and there's a lot of producers and people and great singers, and I got a call, obviously to take a chance to sing on this thing and in a chorus. And this is I don't know if people know the musical Les Miserables, which is a beautiful, very romantic, very powerful musical about revolution. And someone wrote it about this political ideal that about Barack Obama. So Christina was singing on it, and my daughter Emma was singing on it. And, so I got a chance to sing on it with other friends. And some people that I've known for many years who are beautiful voices. Everybody who sang the leads, I know all of them. And so it was very wonderful. It was like this larger, larger family group singing. And so we did it, right? Everybody put their face there. They put their name to it. And it was very, it was powerful. Yes, it was strong. And some of the things in there were not the stuff that some people want to hear, but the spirit of it really expressed the heart, patriotic heart, I want to say, of that. Now, the big interesting thing was, for me, was that that when it came out, they said, please share this. We have a very limited time to share this before we have to pull it because, it's a parody of a show, and we want to respect the writers of Les Mis. So the more you can share this now. So I needed to do it, and I did. Mm-hmm. I put it on my website. I put it on my, the fan, Matthew Ashford site, and the Twitter site. And people's responses were mixed. I mean, there were some very positive people, but there were also people who said, I totally disagree, or they said, hey, great way to drive off your fans, And some were just like, they told me, they said, oh, Matthew, how can you be so wrong? Or, oh, you're so wrong, you're so sorry. And I thought about, you know, they were just negative. They got negative. And I said, I realized, how can I respond to this? And then I chose to reply to them. And basically, I don't know, I hope to say, to thank them for their response. Because, you know what, they obviously took enough time to watch some of it. I don't know how much they watched, but they did. And I thought that in itself should be lauded. And then they replied, and that also is something. But the fact that they disagreed was totally understandable, and totally that's their heart. But the fact that we could share this together was the kernel of what the true American spirit should be. And that's why I said in my reply was that so many young men and young women are dying, have died and are dying in Afghanistan and Iraq every day to protect and to help, actually to help create the kind of freedom of speech for young men and young women and children in Afghanistan and Iraq that they've never had. And what a shame, what a crime, I feel, for us to sit there and not respect and to have that spirit of sharing, that spirit of democracy where we can listen to each other's different ideas. We don't have to agree with them, but to at least hear the heart of that person and realize they, too, love America in their way, you know? Mm-hmm. And even if they say things that they totally disagree with, that we can say, I totally, you know, I don't agree, but I celebrate your ability to say that, and I will defend to the death to do that. I think that spirit is getting lost, and that there are some in American society who would love nothing better for Democrats and Republicans to just hate each other to the death. And you know, I mean, and that, you know, that to me is the greatest sin, if you will, a sin to democracy, is those who would divide us all as Americans from the ability to speak, you know, whether we agreed with, you know, conservative or progressive ideas. And I know, this is the thing I know, is that Days of Our Life has many people who are very, very conservative, and that's wonderful. And I did this because it was something that came up that came up through a family connection. And I put my face out there. I didn't, like, just say something. I just said, I put myself out there. You know, and I just said, well, here's this thing. I'm very excited about it. I didn't say you have to believe it. You even have to watch it. But the people who watched it and disagreed, at least they watched it, or at least they saw something, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, when things go really wrong, when before the Civil War, people, we had senators beating each other almost to death.
Dueling, yes. Yeah, they were
dueling and almost. Yeah, I mean, we really don't want to have that happen again. And I don't, you know, the elements, you know, the liberal parties or the Tea Parties or the Republicans or the Democrats, whoever. I mean, I think people need to recognize each other's humanity and that their ability to love this country through their expression is. You know, like this young nine-year-old young man, they're watching. They're watching what we're doing. And the way we behave, we may totally believe in our way of thinking because that's the way Grandpa and my business partner and older people, like, you know, it really comes down to emotion, I think, underneath why my political beliefs, you know, because the people I love were conservative.
Yeah.
And it's very deep, but We have to learn to respect and dialogue with people of many different faiths and beliefs. And, you know,
no, that's true. Every time we go to Grandpa's house, I've been at Grandpa's watching Fox News, but we still love Grandpa.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We gotta love that. And you know what? I also know. I know people like, you know, Wayne Heffley, who played Byrne on Days of Our Lives. Wayne was like a two-time. Wayne went to World War II and Korea, and he was a man had seen more war than most of us. No one will, you know, see so much war. And he was beyond liberal. He hated war. He hated the way the war was used by conservatives. And yet some of his dearest friends were conservatives, people he could argue with dearly day in and day out. This is, he played Vern. Wayne Heffley played Vern. He's passed away about 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was a writer, and he came back from the second his tour in Korea, where he just barely escaped his life, back into, after fighting for the rights of human beings, to this conservative world where all these blacklisted writers were, like, well, they must be, you know, communists, and some of our greatest writers were blacklisted, and he met them in Hollywood, and he was a young man still fighting. You know, it was just, it was, his viewpoint was so interesting, and yet he was an ardent liberal who even felt like the Democratic Party ran off the rails, but some of his best arguing buddies were conservatives. They'd argue and fight and this and that. But they fought. They talked to each other.
Exactly. I want the parties to talk. And that's why I kind of hate the parties. Because we can't talk anymore. We're just trying to promote the party.
Well, I agree.
You've got to go back and forth.
Well, I think the last thing that certain parties and certain people want is for regular people to talk to each other. And so what would happen if people actually were able to talk to each other? Suddenly, those very extreme views would be, they said, wait a minute, that's stupid. You and I can talk and work this out. Well, all of a sudden, the people with the extreme views would lose their power.
You did that elevator scene. How did you make it look like you actually fell down the elevator shaft?
I didn't. Okay, back to that reality. I never actually fell on the elevator shaft. We pretended I did. I just played it. You know, that's all. We just played that. I don't even know what sound they made. And you know, from there, maybe I didn't. Maybe I was picked up by an alien spaceship and taken to another planet. Maybe I went through Atlantis and ended up in a new world. Yeah, you know, that's the fun thing about being an actor. You can make up whatever story you want.
Yeah, we did say that we love Jack for how human he is, but if we can get you back on the show and they have to make you a vampire to make you come back, we don't care. We'll take you in any form. So anyway,
I would love being a vampire. Frankly, that's a very fun idea. I'd love to be a vampire and just come back and be the undead. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with poor Jennifer. I mean, I love working with Missy, but I wish they had never tried to put us back together. We could have been the greatest ex-couple ever.
Jack and Jennifer didn't end up together.
No, I wish they had let Jennifer and Daniel be together and let Jack be free and loose.
You didn't see how lame Jennifer and Daniel's romance was, though, Matthew. No.
No, my point is, it doesn't matter to me. My point is, let me just get on stage. Let me just be there and enjoy what there is to enjoy and meet people. You know, there's all sorts of interesting people. Nicole, you know, what's her name? Sarah came on. I would love to have worked with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sarah Brown,
There was such a good story for Jack and Jennifer there. I think he should have dabbled with Nicole, and she should have gotten jealous, and they should have worked out their issues, and that could have been a great story.
Well, even if they didn't work out their issues, I mean, looking back at LA, you know, NYPD Blue or LAPD, whatever that show was, where they introduced the character, the Daniel Travante was the main character, and he had his girlfriend, and then he had his ex-wife, and she was a regular character for years because she wasn't going anywhere, and where are the ex-wives? Where are the ex-husbands in all these storylines?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have them in. And yet, those coping mechanisms, those people, and seeing how people deal with children and this and that would be such an instructive way. You know, it's just, you know, it's not considered quote-unquote romantic. So you have to be, like, dead and gone or divorced and gone or whatever, you know.
Vampire, then you could suck the blood out of the guy who fired you.
I'm sorry, the guy who what?
He said that he understands why you'd want to come back as a vampire if you could suck the blood out of the guy who fired you.
No. I don't need to suck the blood out of anybody. I just, you know, that I don't need that. But I'm just saying, right now, what's interesting is that vampires seem to represent the pent up desires of young people.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that. You know, yeah. I actually would like to. I'd rather work right now in a nighttime series on True Blood or one of those shows or space. You know, some space show that just, you know, that just allows for much more interesting choices. Because I am so primed and ready to play all sorts of things. I feel like I'm just at a point of like creating something new, but you know, they're not ready for me. They're not, you know, they want to stay with a certain thing, and I'm just, you know, that's the problem. I'm primed and ready to go. And you know, the biggest shame is to sit there and stay and wait for that, and they're going to do what they're going to do. But,
right.
You know, I am, you know, I wish, I bless them and I wish them well, and you know, it's whatever. I'm ready for a new adventure, and I hope that I hope it goes there, because at this point, that show is, they're heading in a certain direction, and that's what they're going to do. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll never give up. Thank you for asking.
I mean, my friend's grandma is a big fan of Dee. Not my grandma. She doesn't know much about Dee.
She knows Jack and Jennifer.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much
for
giving us a chance to talk to you. And we still hope Jack and Jennifer get back together someday.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you for that. You know, you never know. I mean, it's just... You know, but no matter what,
love to conquer all here. That's, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is the difficult thing is that Jack and Jennifer could love each other beyond time and space and religion and marriage or non-marriage. That I feel like that would be a very positive message to send, is that even if they weren't married, they could love each other so deeply that I think this age is ready for that. Because there's so many people who are now, you know, when we have to, like, 50% of our population is divorced, is to say, you know what, it doesn't mean that the love must end. Because if the love is told to cut off, it is so painful. Why can't people still love each other across deep sea, you know? And yet they can't reach each other. You know, what we're looking for, as opposed to the ages of the, you know, 18th century and 19th century English dramas, now we don't know how to relate to it, but now the real dramas are the dramas of we met, we married, we had whatever relations we had, we maybe even had children, and then we divorced. And now there's a wall between us and there's new people, so there's a new wall. It's the walls that make the characters have to strive. And suddenly you see people who, wow, they really did love each other, but they were too young for each other. They were wrong, they were selfish, they were this, they were that. That's the problem is that in American drama, we don't know how to deal with it. In the old English drama, well, it's very clear, well, you're the lower class, I'm the upper class, that sort of thing. Well, now, we need to, like, go with the class we got. There's certain society classes, or, you know, I really wish we could recognize those things. For that reason, I would just wish that, I think that, like, last time or the time before, that Jack and Jennifer should not have gotten back together and should have found other ways. But, you know, it comes down to time and air time and that sort of thing, too. So,
well, we'll have to disagree with you on that. But we still love you. Thanks for talking to us.
No, I know. I'm just saying. But I'm just saying I wish they need to, you know, but people can love each other whether they're married or not, and they should love each other.
Sure, they can. We've seen Jack and Jennifer married and happy and good. They really, like you say with Matt about you, I really felt like Jack and Jennifer was the couple that could have done that if daytime were in a place to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. If they'd been able to. Yeah, but, I mean, and we did do that. What I'm saying is we did do that, and that's why the Mad About You writers kind of followed up on that many years ago, because we did do that. We had a chance to sit there and squabble about things and just kind of like argue and weirdness, and nothing really happened, better or worse, but we filled the time. So, yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
It was really okay, yes. Yes.
Well, sometime if you could come to the Utah Shakespeare Festival, we would love it. It's a good festival.
Well, it would be my pleasure.
Try it out.
Yes.
For sure. I would be dying to see it. I would really like to see it. If you could get that part in.
They are doing Les Miserables this year.
Oh, Les Miserables! Oh my gosh! Oh, you know that's big singing. I'm not a
it's
big
okay.
Les Miserables.
We take you as
singer,
Macbeth, or we take you as Richard III.
Oh,
whatever.
Thank you. You know what? Utah Shakespeare Festival is a really highly recognized.
It's a great
festival
here.
It's a great. Yeah, no, I would be honored to work there, frankly, and who knows? I would like to work there in the future. So, and
great.
I knew
we have
you know what?
Hiking here too. So.
Yes, I've heard.
And lots of Republicans.
Excellent. I'm so glad. Because you know what? We need all types of people in which to make our America.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Matthew. All the best. And we will watch you wherever you are. Looking forward to the day.
Thank you. Right. Thank you so much. Thank you. He's going to be an amazing young person, actor. Yeah.
Bye, Angie Bennett.
Thank you.
Yes.
Me too.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
he was
cute.
Were they in Utah? Were they in?
Yeah, I'm assuming they're in Utah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess talking about possibility of people loving each other, not being married was. Maybe not the most exciting thing for them to hear, but, you know, there's always got to be. Well, I don't know. I just mean, you know, there's got to be hope. You got to have hope. At least I didn't talk to them about auditioning for, you know, Book of Mormon, I guess. So, the point is, like, no, there must be hope. You have to have, like, a broad opinion. But, no, really, it's fine. It really is fine. And you know, ultimately, human rights and people's rights and is what's most important. So, anyway, he opened up that whole, like, you know, again, he loved that one more term thing. Good for him. You know,
aww.
It was so weird because it's very powerful, but I really feel like it was very, it's very patriotic about Barack Obama, which a lot of people, I really feel like they feel like there's nothing patriotic about being a progressive. That somehow tears apart America apart. And so to have this American, very patriotic feeling about something is disturbing. And yet we all need to recognize that we are all patriotic about our country.
Yeah,
and hopefully we won't need to be invaded to feel that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, what I'm really worried about is that when there is a devastating earthquake or devastating, you know, sickness or this or that, are we going to devolve into this is my state, this is my town, you know, the kind of stuff that happened on that bridge, you know, for the people outside of, in Louisiana, outside of New Orleans, where the town put up, you know, a barricade and they were going to shoot people as they were coming across town. That to me was just extraordinarily frightening and a low point in American history, a very low point in American history, and one that I feel like should be constantly reminded of saying, is this who we are and how do we keep this from happening again?
Mm-hmm.
And do we want to keep this? And if you don't want to keep this from happening again, who are you? Do you really think we live in a republic where all people are created equal, or do you think we're all on our own? And unfortunately, some people think we're all on our own, and that's a virtue. And anyway, I'm just, you know, I just really feel like, you know, that our cloth is much stronger when we're more, you know, trying to be woven, all of our wonderful colors and fabrics together. So, and you know, hopefully we will not take a huge war to make it happen. That's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we don't have but we are struggling to kind of come together without having to have an outside force to do it. And that is extreme. You know, as a Buddhist, I understand this is very tight. It's very difficult to unite around something that is not outside you, that is not negative. And there's a lot of negativity, but the negativity is within us. Anyway, I'm like waxing on my stuff. So are there any other questions? Anybody else wondering one more, Moss?
Actually, it's time to wrap up. We're actually at 90 minutes already. So
yay! Okay, well, listen, thank you. You guys have been amazing, and I just...
Well, thank you.
It's been a wonderful ride, and I've enjoyed it. You know, you never say never, but I just want to express my thanks to all the people who've watched me and shared with me for so many years, wonderful characters and playing everything like that. I'm deeply appreciative of people's, determination to follow Days of Our Lives and the characters. I've always tried to do my personal best, and we'll continue to do so, whether it's on Days of Our Lives or somewhere else. And again,
we'll
thank
follow you.
Oh, yes. Thank you to everybody here and overseas and everywhere. I love you all, and I thank you all deeply from the bottom of my heart. Nam Myoho Renge Kyo.
Well, we've enjoyed talking with you again, and we just have loved your performances, and we'll always remember those special moments that you've created.
Thank you for entertaining us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you
so much. Yes.
Thank you.
Bye-bye for now. Yes, thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care,
bye,
everybody.
Until next time.
You too. Bye-bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.